Great to see all of you here tonight, and Shirley is back. We're excited about that, and we're going to have some piano music tonight. That's going to almost feel unusual now. It seems like it's been a long, long time since we had that, so we're really thankful for that. And we're going to sing and worship God for a while, but before we do that, we need to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee that thou hast brought us here tonight. We ask, God, that thou be with us, guide us, direct us. We ask for thy leading, thy direction for the entirety of this service. We ask, O God, that thou inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we ask, O God, that thou guide us every step of the way here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go ahead and start with number 115 in the chorus book. I will enter his gates. Puts joy in our hearts.
Yeah.
It's the only source of real joy. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Why don't we sing number 15, The Windows of Heaven Are Open.
Jesus, we have you, I am the Lord, that are your man.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way. To sing number 26 right below that, In His Presence.
Yeah.
joy in His presence. There's nothing else like being in the presence of the Lord. You know, knowing the Lord, it gives us a purpose and something to live for. And why don't we go to number 98 right now and sing, Because He Lives. God, you know, we would be so helpless without Him. And why don't we sing number 91, Without Him? Thank you. Without him, but thankfully he has promised us that he would never leave us. He told us, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection and we'll sing one more song after that, and then we'll see what Shirley has to say. I'm sure there's a lot. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. We thank thee that thou hast blessed us so much over the years, that thou hast kept us and enabled us to be here to serve thee, to do thy work. And we ask, O God, that for thy continued guidance in each and everything we do. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed this offering here tonight. Bless the givers and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And I know Diane wanted prayer for Shane, her son. I believe he's going in for an examination tomorrow. And they're going to check, and we're praying it's not cancer. He's been having some trouble with his gallbladder, so we're going to pray about that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of Shane. We ask, O God, that thy perfect will would be done in all things. And we ask, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven right now. We ask for a healing touch. We pray that there would be no cancer in his body. And if there is, we ask, O God, for a complete healing touch even now, right now, from heaven. But more importantly, Lord, we pray for his soul. We ask, O God, that thou hast speak to his heart. We ask, O God, that he would draw nigh to thee, that he would seek thee with a whole heart. We know that he has been here. We know that he has heard thy word. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst touch him, not only with healing, but also with the gift of salvation. For we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, and our Savior, and that nothing is too hard for thee. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to sing one more song. Number 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. guessed it. When you're singing that song, you're not thinking about all the trouble out there in the world. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, all that just fades away. Praise the Lord. Well, we will let Shirley come up here and see what she has to say.
Oh, praise the Lord.
It's mighty good to see everybody here tonight. And I really wasn't going to do this. I had so much unpacking to do, and I'm still unpacking. And I thought, well, I could just, you know, do this, look at my emails, and, you know, check things out, and then, you know, let the recordings go on. But I had a couple phone calls today, this morning, and the Lord began to stir my heart tonight. Okay, Lord. Oh, here I am, God, and praise the Lord. We're just going to go with that and ask Him to be here in a special way here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You that we're here tonight, God. Oh, Lord, we thank You for our voices that we could raise in praise to You tonight, God. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, for Your many, many mercies, God. And, oh, Lord, the abilities that You give us, Lord. We know truly we could do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, we're just dust of the earth. And, God, You've taken us up out of the dust. Oh, Lord, You've given us a reason to live, Lord. You've given us a reason to praise You, to exalt You. Oh, God, to come before You, Lord. And, oh, God, I just ask, oh, Lord. Oh, God, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd help me, Lord. And, oh, God, that You'd use this. God, that You give us ears to hear, and, oh, God, a mind to receive, Lord, God, eyes that can see, oh, Lord, for, oh, God, You've given us much. You've given us much, and You've opened up our understanding, Lord. Oh, God, when so many walk in darkness, oh, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that You bind every wicked spirit and every hindering spirit. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that You would talk here tonight. Oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, God, that You stir our hearts, and, oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to be on fire for You, Lord, to do Your will, Lord, yet while we have time, God, oh, Lord, talk to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, in Your precious name. Oh, God, thank You, Lord, we praise You. Amen. Thank the Lord, praise God. Well, praise the Lord, well, thank You for Your prayers, and the Lord give You very safe journey all the way home. And you know, it's just kind of amazing. I couldn't sleep the night before. I couldn't sleep one wink. It didn't seem like anyway. But I knew, wow, I was going to need extra strength of the Lord. But, you know, He definitely was with me. You know, I could praise the Lord. I could pass those trucks and go on by, you know. And He helped me. Believe me, St. Paul, Minneapolis area is the easiest place to drive. But God has helped me greatly. And now, boy, it's pretty amazing, really. God is amazing. I just thank Him. I know I've said this many times, but I really do believe that if God gives us a challenge, He's not going to give us something that we can't do. You know, He's not going to ask us to do a task that's beyond our abilities. Besides, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. You know, part of this is learning to trust the Lord and to put our faith in Him and just to let Him use us because He wants to. He wants us to be vessels that are willing to submit to God and give our lives to God and be challenged by Him. You know, there's going to be obstacles. It's not going to be easy. I'll tell you what, I had to do a lot of fighting. Things were not perfect. I just the place where I was staying was nice, but I couldn't get a hold of the manager, and then there were leases, thises and thats, and the faucet came off in the bathroom, and he didn't have any instructions through the call, and and this and that, and you know, just all kinds of crazy things. I could get my laptop to work, the television up, and I really wanted it, except maybe to look at weather if that was possible, and that one day, had no signal, and you know, I just wasn't getting any help. But you know, God is great and greatly to be praised, and there is none like Him, you know, and He takes care of all of those incidents and incidentals, and you know, we know He goes before us, you know, He leads the way, and there's none like Him, there's really none like Him at all, I just thank God, I thank You for Your prayers, and I know I was thinking about you all too, and I had some wonderful times of prayers, Brother Tim, too, and you know, God healed Tim while I was there. It was a beautiful thing. Yeah, I just, you know, I knew there were many reasons why I was going there, but God took great care of a lot of things, and I'm just really thankful, really thankful. He's just, and He's an amazing God, that's for sure. Praise the Lord, praise God. Oh, yeah, we had some wonderful Bible studies and time of prayer, and we had some services there, and you know, not everybody that I had hoped would be there came. In fact, it came down to just one precious family, but I'll tell you what, it was good. It was good. They were so hungry, and it gave me some new insights, because it was something that's been within me for quite a while, and I know it's so beautiful to see people baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and go on to receive the Holy Ghost. But so many times, there's something beyond that. There's discipleship that is so essential and necessary. And people are fainting up there. They're fainting. There's no pastors to lead. There's nobody to guide. And I've had this burning thing deep down inside. I'll tell you more about it today. I hope I can explain, you know, a phone call that came my way today, and again, I see it again and again, because God did ordain that there would be pastors, there would be ministers to lead and guide and direct God's people, and to show the way, and you know, most everybody that we talk to says, I can't find a church, you know, they may have gone to every church in that whole area, seeking and searching. They may have gone for miles trying to find somebody who would shepherd them, and there's nobody. There's nobody. The truth has fallen in the street. It's so taken advantage of and misrepresented and trampled on. I'll tell you what, this is a time for us to seek God and to love God's word like never before, because so many people don't know it. You know, these younger generations are growing up without any knowledge of what's right and wrong. They really don't know anymore. You know, and you see evidence of that all the time. And yet we have the book. And people are going to stand before Almighty God one of these days, and they're going to have to give an account of their life. And it's going to be according to the book. What's written in this book, that's what's going to, you know, make a difference, whether they've listened and feared the Lord and kept His commandments and heeded God. It's going to make a difference at that moment. But most people are, you know, unconcerned and, you know, going their own way. Maybe there's an inkling down inside. I know I was thankful I did pass out tracts and you know, I just, in one case, while this man sat down at the table with us, and you know, he things weren't working out so well for him, and I just thought, well, maybe you put him here right now because you know, I was going to have this opportunity, and thank God for that. And then I went outside, and there was another young man. I felt very compelled to give him a track, and he, you know, he's time reading it. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know sometimes. You know, it's, you know, that hard-looking person sometimes in the grocery store, or, you know, that sad-looking man, or you just don't know. That young teenager that looks so wild, you know, the person all covered with tattoos. You just don't know what God is going to do, you know, or to preach the gospel to every creature. And, you know, we just don't know sometimes what's deep inside that individual. You know, they might look almost like Satan personified, but you know what? Maybe there's something inside. Obviously, there's something inside that's missing. You know, they need God. We need hope. But praise the Lord, we have it. We have His Word, and we have much to do. We have much to do while there's yet a little time. That is so true, and I just thank God, you know, He has given us these precious moments to use for His name's sake and His glory. You know, you stand before God, we want to have fruit, we want to have something to show Him. You know, so these are our moments. And praise the Lord, we can gather here together, here tonight, you know, we're not that huge, we're not that many, but yes, if God is in our presence, we have so much. If we have the truth, we have so much. I mean, people don't have it. People are without shepherds. They're without leadership. They're, you know, on their own. So many, many people. Yet here we are tonight, and praise the Lord. What an opportunity. What a moment. And we can bring our requests. We can make them known before God, knowing that He cares, that He heals, that He saves. And oh my, that we can find that little place with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's open up to Matthew 11 here for the moment. And it's going to be some passages that I've been reading over the last couple days. And we have to just see how the Lord will direct this, how He will lead with this. Praise the Lord. Matthew 11. What went you out for to see? Here we go. Yeah. Verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, I'm just going to go over this little passage here. Here Jesus is concerned with the multitudes and what their opinion was of John the Baptist. And again, we're just prior to this. We know that John was in prison at this moment, and it must have been very trying for John. You know, his ministry was really short. And God had called him and given him a very specific job to do. He was that forerunner, preparing the way for Jesus Christ. And here he was in jail. He was in prison. And I'm sure it was not at all pleasant there by any means. But he sent out his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? He had those moments of doubt. He was human, just like all of us. We have moments sometimes when we're fighting battles and we just need reassurances. Maybe we need encouragement. We need hope. And you know, thank God we can find it down in our knees. And sometimes there's a brother or sister who also helps us in a wonderful way to look up and to remember the good things of God. But here he is. John was obviously at one of those low moments, and he didn't know. He didn't know. He was fighting this battle. He was in prison. He was maybe at a dungeon-like atmosphere, and it's not nice. Sure, it must have been dark. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus again, saying, art thou he that was to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus responded by his works. His works, you know, we can say this, we can say that, but if our works don't back us up, if our works don't prove that we're a Christian, then you know, our words are in vain. So here is Jesus Christ, and he said to the disciples, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He said, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh my, he did the works, and they were proof. They had proved that Jesus Christ was Son of God. They were, they corresponded with the prophetic utterances that had been declared years before. But here it is now, after they left, after those disciples went back to report what they had seen, Jesus began to talk to those multitudes again, and he's asking these questions. He asked it three times in a different way. You know, what led you out into the wilderness to see? Why did you go out there? You know, what were you looking for? And, you know, he said, a reed shaken with the wind. You know, in other words, were you just curious? Were you sightseeing? You know, we might all like to take a trip sometime and, you know, go exploring or, you know, see the pretty flowers and, you know, all the beautiful vegetation that the Lord has created and the little creatures that pop up here and there, the birds that fly in the air and all this and that. I mean, you know, is that why you went out to the wilderness? You just wanted to see a reed that was shaken with the wind? And, you know, we can ask that question too, you know, why do people go to church? You know, it's so amazing there in Eden Prairie where I was staying. Very nice place in so many ways, but you know, here was this great big church that we would pass. There's a beautiful place in Prairie where there's spring water, and it is so neat. You can just have your containers and park right up there and fill your bucket. It flows. Frederick Miller Springs, and this wonderful, wonderful spring water is just shooting up. It doesn't stop. You can see the creek down below, and that was even, it was free flowing even in the cold. But you know, this person who had owned it donated it to the city for all to benefit from it. It's just wonderful. It's just, you know, like a well, and then there's a spigot that comes out of it. You don't have to bend down or anything. And just put your buckets under it. It's flowing all the time. It's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. But on the way to the spring, you know, there was this block where there's this huge, huge church. And, you know, it's so big. We even went inside one day and just kind of to see what it was like, and couldn't really get into the sanctuary that was locked. But, you know, there obviously there's a gym and a school and must be stores. I don't know. It's just the place. I mean, it doesn't, the building is huge, huge, and there's a huge, huge parking lot. And, you know, the property is I think it's a city block. It is quite amazing. And there on the board where the pastors, or maybe 18 or so pastors, of a church all designated with different, you know, different jobs, you know, do this and do that and all. And that could be really wonderful if they were all teaching the truth and, you know, proclaiming it. But anyway, it was just a huge edifice. And then there were some other people in the building at the moment. And, you know, I asked them a question. Well, they didn't go to church there. They just were there to, you know, pick up their daughter, her son that, you know, was playing volleyball or whatever was going on at the moment. And you know, it just, you know, that people go to churches for various reasons. Some might not even know why they're going. Maybe there is a hunger in their hearts. But how sad, because so often they're not hearing truth. And they're not really hearing things that edify them. They're not really hearing things that are going to make them ready for heaven. Truly, that is certainly one of the reasons we come to church, I hope, so that we can prepare our hearts, so that we can get to higher ground, so that we can know the Lord better, so that we can worship Him, praise Him, and hear the Word of God. You know, that hunger that comes out of a hungry person. You know, it was just so beautiful. Like, I did contact several other families. I had some very good conversations on the phone, and for this and that reason, I know one party was going to make it to our first meeting, and all kinds of things happened, and she didn't make it, and and the others were going to come too, and they didn't make it, you know. And you know, this is often because, you know, when you set your mind to the Lord, you're going to get bought. It's not going to be easy. And you know, you've got to learn to resist that. If at all possible, you know, you've got to learn to make your way through that. Because it's going to happen. You're going to find out that you have an adversary if you're trying to serve the Lord. It's not going to be an easy road by any means. But here, the sad thing is so often people go to churches, and for one thing, false versions of the Bible are probably being read in many, many churches. I think the majority of the churches these days, they don't use the King James, or maybe if they do, it's maybe for an occasion. They like it better in that particular case, or whatever. You know, they kind of pick and choose. And I tell you, they're not on the same page, those versions of the Bible. Oh my, they can definitely mislead you. And they don't back up the Lord as is needed. They don't really prove his identity. So much is taken away. Many passages, Mark 16:16 to the end, is taken out. There's many other passages that are omitted or changed or whatever. There's not that power in those other words, on those other versions of the Bible. But there's so many other things going on. In so many cases, it's a social gospel. You know, they might have yoga in their church basement. And they might have parties. They might put up Christmas trees. And on it goes. They might be teaching Harry Potter. All these kind of things are going on in these churches these days. But how sad, because one day everyone is going to stand before an almighty God. And, you know, one of our Bible studies and for the Tim and I had together, we went to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. And, you know, it starts off by saying, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, saith the Lord." Oh my, says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that be my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." It's not going to be good for those pastors on the day of judgment. It's not going to be good by any means. And as you go on in this passage, it's just really something. God's word as he declares it. But if you look at, let's look at verse 20 for a moment here. It says, "The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly." And it says, "I have not set these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." But here it says, "But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." Isn't that something? If you just would have declared the truth, and I've heard pastors say, "Hey, I can't teach that. All my people would leave me. Hey, I really know. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, this is right. And yeah, that is wrong. If I went against the grain, the people would all leave. Well, I'd probably be excommunicated from my organization." They wouldn't like that at all. And who is it that they're fearing? Is it God or is it man? I'll tell you what, they're fearing man. And you're not going to stand before man and give an account of your life one of these days. We're going to stand before God. He's the one that's going to be regarding what we say. He's the one that's going to matter, what he thinks. It's not what man thinks by any means. But here it says, "If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing." Oh my, I tell you what, yes, back in the time of Jeremiah, if the prophets would have prophesied rightly, it would have turned the hearts of the people to the living God, just as Elijah, when he challenged the people there and ask God to consume the offerings with fire from heaven, to turn the people's hearts back to God. It worked, didn't it? It worked. The people were confused. They were confounded. They didn't know. You know, Jezebel, Ahab had gone along with it. They had brought in all those prophets of Baal. And the people were misled. And they didn't know anymore who was a living God. But God sent a prophet to them, Elijah, and he was able to turn the hearts of the people to God because he feared God. You know, he felt like he was the only one left after a while. But yet, he wasn't afraid, a man, was he? He feared God, and he knew he had to declare what God had said. And that's the way it needs to be right today. We've got to fear God. We've got to declare his words, even if we're the only one left. And sometimes it seems like we're the only one. His people have always been a remnant, though. But here it is. If they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil they're doing. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a terrible thing to stand before God and realize you had not represented his word rightfully. Oh my, there's a lot to fear. There's a lot of responsibility with all of that. And we're at a time where, there's a famine in the land. And often we've heard that portion from Amos, the 8th chapter, when it was written, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And that's the way it is right now. And it goes on in that 8th chapter of Amos, the 12th verse. "And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." That's the condition that we're in right now. There are people that are seeking. There are people that have a hunger and thirst. Maybe scattered, maybe here and there, and oh, Lord knows. But yet, where do they find it? Where do they find it? It's not very often found. But here in Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus was asking the multitudes, "What went you out to see? Into the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind? Is that why you went out there?" Then he asks another question in the 8th verse, "But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in king's houses." You know, we don't go to church, you know, like an Easter parade or something to show off our clothes and, you know, our shoes and our fancy cars or whatever. Oh, that should never be the reason that we go to church. And you know, if they went out into the wilderness to see John the Baptist, they certainly didn't see somebody in soft raiment. You know, John the Baptist was a rugged man wearing, you know, just camel's hair. You know, it wasn't an impressive sight to see this man. But, you know, there was something in John that was deep, deep. He was following the Lord. And, you know, that's what mattered. And then Jesus asked the third question, "But what went you out for to see? A prophet?" And I'm sure some of them went out to see a prophet. They realized there was something in this man. And I know the scribes and the Pharisees came out to see him, and John could see right through them. He could see right through them, you know, in Matthew, excuse me, the 3rd chapter, it talks about how there were Pharisees and Sadducees that came to John's baptism there in the 7th verse of Matthew 3. And you know, John the Baptist, like I said, he could see right through them. And he got right to the point. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers." Oh, ye snakes, in other words. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You know, he could see right through their hypocrisy. And they didn't come for the right reasons. You know, they had other motives. And they, you know, it wasn't right. They weren't there to repent and to give their lives to God. Sometimes that happens in the Church of the Living God today, too. People could come to church for all different reasons. Maybe they do want to see a reed shaken in the wilderness. Or maybe they do want to see a man in soft raiment, you know. Or maybe they want to see a prophet. But what is really necessary is that the Lord is using that individual, that the Lord is in the midst of that people. I know that Paul's speech was not with enticing words of men's wisdom by any means. When Paul spoke to the people, it wasn't because he was an excellent orator. He wasn't orating. No, there was something else. He came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's why he was preaching, because the Holy Ghost was in him. The Holy Ghost was using him. He was speaking through him. And besides that, there was demonstration of the Spirit of God and God's power. God was using that man in a mighty way. And signs followed him. Signs are supposed to follow the Church of the Living God today. As we know, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the works of the church. And that's how the early church responded. They were told that in Mark the 16th chapter. And you know what? They went out and did it. They went out. Those signs did follow them. The Lord was with them, and he confirmed his word through the works that they did, which was very precious. And that's the way it should be today. We are a continuation of the book of Acts. And those signs that followed them there need to follow us too. You know, if we'll step out in faith and declare it, if we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost and let him anoint us, the Lord can use us. And he's the same God. He hasn't changed, not one bit, from those days of the book of Acts, you know, and he will work with his people. It says, confirming the word with signs, following, amen, if only there will be faith when the Lord comes. If only there will be faith. And Paul, again, his words were with power. Not with man's wisdom at all. In fact, it tells us in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, that God has used the foolishness of preaching to save them that which are lost. That's what it takes. You know, it's not being an orator. It's not just reciting something or just reading something or, you know, having sound advice, that sort of thing. But the strength and the power of God needs to be demonstrated in our midst. We need to be anointed by the power of God. And, you know, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And you can really see it these days. You know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you can see these days, these people that will not acknowledge God, how foolish they are, how misleading they are, you know, because they have not acknowledged God. It's the fear of the Lord that brings us to wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that brings us to repentance. And that's what it takes to change our lives and to make us right in the sight of God. And it says in verse 21 here in 1 Corinthians, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We could read a million books. And unless it's the word of God applied to our heart, Those million books are not going to do us any good. We could be the wisest person as far as knowledge is concerned. That kind of wisdom is never going to lead us to God. It's going to take the Lord working on our heart. Oh my, it's going to take the Lord tugging at us. The Lord showing us our need. The Lord breaking us down so that we can come to Him in repentance. That's what it's going to take. And so it says, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what it takes. Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But here it was, back in the time of Jesus, you know, what went they out to see? Did they come out to see a reed shaken with the wind, a man clothed with soft raiment, or did they come to see a prophet? And Jesus went on to say, yea, verse 9, chapter 11 of Matthew, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not yet risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Oh my, God has given us something beyond that which John the Baptist had. We have been able to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, it's you're going to have to make up your mind to serve the Lord. It's you know, not an easy single decision, you know, that changes it all. It's you know, it says here, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. There's going to be an effort. You're going to have to put your whole self into serving God. It might be struggle. It might be hard. You might have to forsake people that you love. They might all come against you. You might be persecuted. God only knows. But there's got to be something deep within you that's stronger than all of that. You've got to realize that this is, you know, something worth fighting for. And you're going to take it by force. You're going to push your way through. In the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, it says it just a little differently. And it, instead of the violent take it by force, it talks about how every man presseth into it. And that's quite a good word picture. You know, it says in Luke 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. It's you know, it's not an automatic thing by any means. You just don't raise your hand to serve the Lord and think that's going to do it. There's going to, you know, you make a start. Oh, yes. You're going to have to acknowledge God. You're going to have to come to Him in repentance. And then there's going to be a pressing, because you're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. It's not going to be an easy thing by any means. But we realize how great it is. What we have at stake here to serve the Lord, it's worth everything in this world. What would it profit if we would gain the whole world and lose our soul? For what can a man give in exchange for a soul? We've got to realize, yes, there's something deep with this. The words of life that speak to our soul, that feeds us. Because there's a spiritual man inside. That spiritual man needs to be fed. You know, it's not going to come easy. We need that manna from heaven every day. We need a prayer life where we're in contact with God and where we know Him and He knows us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here it is. He asked those questions. What went you out to see? You know, I mentioned as I began, how it is these days, you know, the great need out there for people to rise up and to stand up, to declare it, to preach it. I think often of this verse here in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 35, where it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But it tells us, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's the way it is right now. The people are scattered abroad. They're here and there. They're fainting. In many, many cases, they're fainting. They have no shepherd to guide and to lead them. You know, everybody is kind of on their own, it seems like, for the most part. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's a request that the Lord Jesus made, that we would pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the field to work for him, to do his work. The laborers are few. And how true that is today. It is so true. I had this phone call today, and it was some good people that have been with this ministry for a long time. Oh, we baptized them when we were in North Carolina on one of our trips down there, and hadn't heard from Kay for quite a length of time. The last time I talked to her, she was just, I believe she had suffered a heart attack, and was able to pray with her and talk to her at that time, and I marveled how God had used that to give her faith and to bring her to higher ground. Well, hadn't heard from her though since, and so when the phone rang and it was, I noticed Eastman on the answering machine, I just thought, well, I better talk to them to see what's going on. And so as I talked to them, I realized the situation, that it was perplexing and confusing to them, and they just didn't know exactly what to do by any means. And circumstances that I will not explain in great detail, but it just so happens that they had a grandson that lives next to them with a son also, and quite the circumstances. Not so good, really, to tell you the truth, but they found him in his grandfather's shop, and his right there on their property. They live out a bit there in North Carolina, and you know, the grandfather came into his shed and where he kind of has his little, you know, all his mechanical things and all that he's has set aside there. And this grandson said he, you know, he was just in there snooping. You know, they didn't know he was in there. They just heard a noise out there and wanted to see. And there he was, you know, he said something about looking for a kind of WD-40 or something. And you know, then he made some comments that, you know, he was going to clean out his grandfather's shop, the shed there. And then said something about, we have plans for that building and we got to have it cleaned out in 3 weeks. And just very, very strange. And you know, so these dear folks in North Carolina were, what is going on? What is going on? And, you know, Kay said some words to him because this was not appropriate. It was, you know, his grandson certainly had no business doing that. And what in the world is he up to? So they had a lot of questions and wonders and, you know, just not knowing how to proceed. And so from the details that they shared with me, I had a lot of suspicions too that probably was some occultic connections with all the goings on there. And you know, as we talked, then you know, Kay was saying, well, what do we do? You know, how do we pray, or what should we do? You know, and I just realized, as I have many times, because this is not the first call or email that I've gotten lately, according with, you know, certain things going on of this nature. And I just realized, here it is again. These are good folks, and they've been listening to tapes for a long time, CDs and all. But yet, here they are in this circumstance, and they don't know how to pray. They really don't know what to do. And I was so thankful. I was able to go to Matthew 16 and Matthew 18 and tell them how to bind those spirits and how to loose. And I said, you could do this. I encouraged them. And you know, we went through those scriptures, and they have another son-in-law and daughter that are serving the Lord. And I said, you all need to get together. You know, it's probably not going to be a one-time prayer, but, you know, you can continue to do this. You can break down the resistance and the goings-on, and, you know, whatever the plan is by this grandson and the others there, you can break it in the name of Jesus. You can cast it down. You know, the Lord is powerful. He's the creator. He can do anything. He made us. He knows how to end this. He knows how to change this. And, you know, prayer is a wonderful weapon, a wonderful opportunity that the Lord has given us. And I thank God I was able to pray with them and lead them and guide them. But I realized how it is that the people are so scattered. And they're fainting, and they're without a shepherd, and the need is so great. It is so great in this hour in which they live. You know, in the hour in which we live. I know I couldn't help but think of Romans, the 10th chapter, too, and oh, many times I've gone here, but if we just look at it here briefly, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then questions are asked. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, there's a list here. You know, how can people call on him and who they have not believed, if they don't know of the living God? You know, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard. And how should they believe on him if they've not heard? They've not heard the good news of the gospel. How are they going to believe? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's an order here that the Lord has ordained. But yet, you know, the labors are few. And the harvest is plenteous. What a thing. What a situation. It says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? There, Isaiah 53, verse 1. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, it's so important to hear the word of God and to put it in our hearts and to hide it there. And how precious it is when there's that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I must say, it was really beautiful. We did have four meetings there in Minnesota. And, you know, there were others that wanted to come. And we canceled one meeting and put it at another time, and some folks said that, you know, this other date was better, they thought, and thought they could make it, and yet, you know, many obstacles obviously came up, and it didn't come to pass, except the Bottoms, and that was so dear, because, you know, when you were teaching them, there was something that you could see. That was a hunger. That was a thirst for the words of the Lord. And I tell you what, how beautiful that is. You know, to see that. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. You know, it takes that. Oh, it takes that hunger, that thirst, you know, that manna from heaven, that desire to hear the words of the Lord. But it's so necessary, because that's how faith also comes into our heart. That faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I was so thankful for that. And while also I was in Minnesota, we had a couple of studies with Sharon and Chong. Pauline also joined us at one point, and at that moment, Sharon was going through quite a thing because an individual that she knew was in an ICU unit there in Singapore. She was bleeding in the brain, as I recall, and she was in a coma and didn't really know. No one really knew what was going to be the outcome for that young woman. But we were able to pray together, Brother Tim and myself and Sharon and Chong, and I believe Pauline was in on that, and we talked about it, and you know, what could be done. And after we were finished, Sharon went back to that hospital and laid her hands on that woman. And you know what? That woman recovered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was a miracle for God. But, you know, see, we need that boldness to go forth and declare it, to do it. You know, we talked about it. And sometimes it's going to take a little nerve, you know? It's going to take the Lord to direct it. We might think we can't do it. But, you know, if we've got the Holy Ghost, oh my, we can go forth and declare it and do those things which are written in the book. We can see those signs that follow them that believe. So very encouraged to see that the Lord used my dear sister there. And you know that we were able to talk about that and pray together also. And just another opportunity, I had other phone calls while I was there. I was talking to this Sean in the Madison area too. His sister also was, it looked like she was shutting down. She was in ICU too. And I'm not sure what's developed at this moment, but I prayed with him as he was on the way to the hospital and talked to him, and we had a wonderful time of prayer together. And last I heard from him, he said that she was getting better, which was another wonderful report. So I thank God. I just thank God. You know, it would just allow our faith to be tested and go with it. Not being afraid, you know, We can be so afraid that we won't pass those semi trucks down the road, you know. They're so big and they're so imposing. They take up so much space, and I don't like to pass them. But I'll tell you what, there were a lot of semis on the road when I was coming home. I passed every one of them. And I'll tell you what, something about it. You know, the more you do it, that fear starts to leave, you know. And those hesitations start to leave because, you know, God builds up your faith and starts giving you strength so you can stand on His promises and go forward. You know that He's with you and that He knows how to keep you and how to lead you, how to direct you. And that goes for those spiritual exploits that we need to do too. We'll just stand on faith and go forward and realize that if God is with us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord! We've got to realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And oh my, if He stood with those apostles on the day of Pentecost, if He stood with them in the book of Acts, and they were able to do those many wonderful works through the name of Jesus Christ, He's going to be with His people today. You know, that same Holy Ghost that He poured out there on the day of Pentecost is for us today also. Oh my, and He gave it to us so that we could be witnesses, so that we could have power to overcome, to stand up, to do His work, to declare it. And what a moment it is. What a moment. For the most part, it looks like truth is falling in the street. You know, to most people, it looks like Christianity is dead. But yet, God is alive. And I believe He's going to have a people that are going to stand up and declare it and do it and walk with the Lord in spite of these end times, in spite of the darkness, in spite of the night, in spite of the apostasy that's in this land and in this world. God is going to have a people that go forth and declare it. We might be scattered. We might be fainting in some cases, but the Lord can strengthen us. Oh, if we will stand up, if we will bend our knees to Him, if we will worship Him, if we'll get our hearts right in repentance and surrendering to His will and do the first works, put the Lord first, and forget about all the trivial things that don't even matter. Oh my, it's high time for the Church of the Living God to come alive, to do His work, to stand up before the night comes when no man can work. You know, the 11th chapter of Revelation, oh my, quite a thing there in that book. But in this chapter, it seems God is talking about to His two witnesses. And He's talking about giving them power. John is, of course, hearing that angel speak to him. And, he's told to rise and measure the temple of God, an altar, and them that worship therein, the people of the living God, the church of the living God. He's told to leave out the court, without the temple. That's to be left out, not to be measured at all. For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And there's more to it than just this at the moment, but he's going to give those witnesses power. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. He mentions these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. You know, God has given us power. He said we would tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt us. There we have it in Luke the 10th chapter. But how many people are going to claim it? You know, for ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God has given us power, dunamis, to declare it, to stand up with it, to do the works that He said we should do. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He said He would not leave us comfortless, but He would come unto us. He said, I am with you now, but I shall be in you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And here He's talking about those two witnesses. Oh, the Word of God, the Spirit of God that anoints His prophets, His people, His church, those that are alive in Christ. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Have power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Like Elijah and Moses, they stood up, they did it by faith. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And so it seems to be today, basically, people assume that God is dead, that He's gone. And there's rejoicing. There is those that rejoice because, yeah, that convicting power of the Holy Ghost isn't, they're bugging them so much anymore. You know, they're just kind of doing their own things and living their own way. And, you know, kind of just believing as they want to. And making merry, sending gifts one to another, having one party after another. And just, you know, God is dead and blah, 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 you know. All those terrible things that they think in their hearts, like Christianity is dead. But there's the Spirit of the living God. Verse 11 here in Revelation 11 says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Oh, the church of the living God, coming alive, doing the works that have been declared. Listen, it might seem like we're scattered, that we're fainting, that we're few, that there's no one hardly. Maybe that feeling that there's no one else. And I believe that is, oh, we've all had thoughts like that at times. But praise the Lord, I believe there's a work to be done. I know Jesus challenged us by saying, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? But I believe he's going to have a people that is coming. It may be a remnant, yes, I believe it will be a remnant. And I believe right now he's calling that remnant to life. And here it is. Oh yeah, to many it looks like Christianity is dead. Churches don't have much life to answer, you know, to offer. You can hardly tell somebody who is a Christian from, you know, somebody who doesn't profess to be a Christian at all. Usually there's, you know, not much difference at all. You know, and many people profess that they're Christians, and they're certainly not. But it is time. It is time for the Church of the Living God to come alive. And here it talks about the Spirit of life from God entering into those witnesses. They stood upon their feet. Great fear fell upon them which saw them. There is work to be done for the Lord. I don't know how he's going to do it or what all, but I believe that we can be part of this. I just believe that somehow if we'll stand to our feet, if we'll come alive in the Lord, if we'll get on our knees, travail and cry out and put the Lord first, that he's going to use us. And that is going to live. The Christianity, real Christians, they're going to come alive. There's going to be a witness in this earth. Something is going to happen. Oh my, because they need to know, don't they? There needs to be a witness in Revelation, the 14th chapter, just before the end. And this in Revelation 11 is right before the end, obviously. Here in verse 6 of Revelation 14, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Could this be the last call coming out? Coming, oh, from God's people, the last call, coming to a world that's dying, a world that's headed towards hell, a voice that cries out, telling them to repent, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And it talks about that other angel that follows, saying, Babylon has fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And obviously after that, the third angel follows the loud voice. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And then it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I believe there's going to be a people that endure unto the end. You know, we might be scattered. We might be few. We are just a remnant. But yet there's going to be a witness in this earth. And I know one thing. I want to be one of those witnesses. I want to be doing the work of the Lord when he comes. I want to be occupying when he comes. I want to meet the challenge of this hour. For I know that we serve a God who has given us power and authority to fight the enemy, to prevail, to be strong, to be a witness. And there is such a need that we would declare it. Oh my, yes, the people are dying. They're going to churches that don't have any power or real authority with God, that preach just the social gospel, and maybe don't even open up the Bible. Or if they do, it's probably a false version. But here we are with so much truth. God has poured out His Spirit. If He's poured out the Holy Ghost upon us, then He's given us that overcoming strength to prevail, to be strong, to stand up, to do His work, to be a witness in this world that is lost and dying. Oh my, the world is wondering. You know? They're looking for something that's real. They're looking for something that's genuine. Just as they were looking when John the Baptist came on the scene. It had been, you know, those 400 years of silence since the last prophet spoke. And here came John, preparing the way of the Lord. And yet, not all received him, did they, by any means? Some were just vipers. Some were just there out of curiosity, or just to see what they could see, report what they could report, you know, and you know, maybe even mock what they saw. He wasn't a man who saw raiment, was he? He wasn't a reed shaken with the wind, but he was a prophet, declaring the words of God. And praise the Lord, there were some people whose hearts were turned to the living God because of His ministry. There were some people that did respond to the voice of God. And praise the Lord, we're challenged right now. But I believe there's a people out there that are hungry and thirsty for the living God. I believe there are people that need to know, that need greater depths, that need to be discipled, that need to be led, that can respond to the challenge of this hour. But praise the Lord, you know, who will go? Who will take heed? You know, I just think often of what Isaiah said when the Lord began to prick his heart and showed him that beautiful vision of heaven. And he, as it tells us there in Isaiah 6, says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Oh wow, we all have a work to do for the Lord, don't we? We all could do something for the cause of Christ. I'm sure He would bring us to this hour and expect us to do nothing. We don't want to be like that man who hid his talent in the dirt and just said, I just can't, Lord. I fear, you know, that there could be consequences if I say too much or if I do this or that. But no, there needs to be a boldness in this hour. There are those that fear the Lord and are willing to work for Him while it is yet day, because that night is coming when no man can work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know there's people out there. I pray that we'll all be in that place where the Lord can use us. Well, our lamps will be trimmed and burning, that we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't let that oil seep away. We've got to keep it charged. We've got to keep it full. We've got to keep on seeking the Lord. We've got to keep on doing His work. We've got to keep on testifying. You know, we've got to keep down there on our knees reading the Word of God. It's all going to matter one of these days. Oh, why? Because there is a God. There is a cause. And there is a work to be done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your word and what You do in our hearts. God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would work in us. Oh God, that You'd stir our hearts, that You put Your zeal within us, Lord. Oh God, that zeal for Thee, that zeal for truth, Lord. Oh God, I just pray that, oh God, we would not be cold or lukewarm, but Lord, that we would be on fire for Thee, Lord, that You would find us at Thy coming, doing Thy work, standing up for what is truth. God, regardless of consequences. Oh, God, regardless of what others think and do and declare, Lord. Oh, God, regardless of persecution, Lord, give us that strength, Lord. Strengthen us in the inner man, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Give us that zeal, Lord. Help us to work well in this day, Lord, for that night is coming when no man can work. Oh, Lord, in your precious name I pray. Work in us and revive us. Move in us. Change us, Lord. Mold us. Shape us. Make us like you, Lord. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 86 in the chorus book, I'm Gonna Work and Watch and Pray. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer. In Jesus' name. Thank you.